This is an MP3 audio clip from the weekly People First radio broadcast.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
A group called the Collaborative Research Team, CREST.BD for short, works together to study psychosocial issues in bipolar disorder. CREST.BD is a team of researchers, clinicians, and consumers dedicated to developing further knowledge about bipolar disorder. There are representatives from a variety of health disciplines, including psychology, psychiatry, occupational therapy, nursing, genetic counseling, and mental health advocacy. A guiding principle of CREST.BD is to foster and promote community-based research. People with bipolar disorder and their family members are active participants in research and knowledge exchange. We're joined on the phone by Michael Crane, a member of the CREST BD team. Welcome to People First Radio, Michael.
Hi there, Kevin. Thanks so much for having me. And I just want to say, I think your show is so wonderful in giving opportunities for discussion and education on homelessness and family issues and mental illness. So good for you.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Michael, you graduated with a Bachelor of Arts degree from what is now UBC Okanagan and a Diploma in Public Relations from the British Columbia Institute of Technology. You were diagnosed with bipolar disorder in 1997 while attending university. Tell us about that illness and your journey since that time.
Okay, well, for me, depression definitely showed up in my teens and through my 20s, and it was really debilitating. I also had very strong feelings of wanting to end my life. And so for me, when I had my first manic episode in my mid-20s when I was at university, in some respects, it was a real blessing because the diagnosis explained so much for me. It explained what the depression was about, and it explained also what was going on with the mania. Unfortunately for me, the manic episode was very, very public. So I was actually in an exam and asked to talk to the professor outside of the classroom and collapsed, and from there was taken to the nurse's station and then onto the hospital. So I never really had the opportunity to be in the closet, so to speak. I was out right from the beginning. One of the things I find interesting in looking back on it is that I recall very clearly writing a letter to my grandmother describing, in my late teens, describing how I was feeling inside and this awful sort of feeling of depression and wanting to end my life, and thinking that everybody felt this way, that this was just the norm. And getting a letter back from her saying that, you know, she was really concerned in what was going on and so forth. So that to me, I think, might have been a point where I could have realized that, that in fact, not everybody feels that way, that it was something that was in me and not in others necessarily. But the thing that's a positive is that now in my life, for where I've reached it, the focus has become not on the illness or not on how the illness works, but rather on being well and becoming well. And I think that that's an important corner that people who have bipolar disorder need to turn, is that not to focus so much on the illness, but to focus on being well.
How did you become involved in community-based research at CREST.BD?
That's a great question. I actually attended what they call a community consultation day that CREST.BD runs about a year ago. Actually, it was March of 2009. And they were running a day where they were dealing with stigma in mental illness and stigma in bipolar disorder. So I went out, and I basically wanted to see what the group was about. And I found it really encouraging to see that there was a group of people who are researchers and clinicians and so on, who normally would separate themselves from the people who are the consumers, who were choosing to include consumers in what they were doing. So they were doing, as you've said, community-based research. At the event, I basically went up to Dr. Aaron Mihalik, who's the head of the team, and said, can I be involved, and how can I be involved, and what can I do? It was just so wonderful to see that there was this group of people who wanted to include consumers in what they were doing, and that their research and what they were doing was being guided by what consumers were saying at the community consultation days. So, and I just want to put a plug in and say, if people want to learn more about CREST.BD, they can find out at the website, which is www.crestbd.ca.
Mm. You're listening to People First Radio. I'm Kevin. Michael Crane works with a team of community-based researchers at CrestBD. The CrestBD team leader is Dr. Aaron Mihalik, assistant professor in the Mood Disorders Center of the Department of Psychiatry at University of British Columbia. Now, the CrestBD group also includes researchers, clinicians, and consumers with a special interest in bipolar disorder who live in other parts of British Columbia and further afield. Michael Crane is involved with CrestBD research. He's on the phone with us today. Michael, tell us more about the research at CrestBD and how it could benefit the lives of people living with bipolar disorder and the lives of their families and associates.
Absolutely. So these community consultation days that happen yearly steer what it is that the team is going to be focusing on. And so we listen very carefully to what people are saying they'd like to see research being done on, and then we try to apply that for the next community consultation day. So as an example, 2 years ago, people expressed interest in the issue of recovery. What is recovery? What does recovery mean to people with bipolar disorder? And so this year, the community consultation day that we have happening on June 29th out at Cecil Green House at UBC is going to be asking the very simple question, what does recovery mean to you? And we're asking that to people who have bipolar disorder and asking it to their family and friends and support network as well, in hopes that we can gain a clearer understanding of what that means. And then in the fall, we're having a community engagement day where we're inviting mental health practitioners out. And we're going to say to them, this is what people have said recovery means to them, people who have bipolar disorder. And what are, do you think some of the shortcomings might be in applying this practically to how you people do your work? So all of that will end up eventually in a paper and in presentations on what recovery means to people with bipolar disorder.
Now, the first article that you wrote, now this is another part of the work that you do there, as part of what is called knowledge translation, is a condensed version of self-management strategies used by quote-unquote high-functioning individuals with bipolar disorder. It's called Hope for Managing Bipolar Disorder. What was it like for you to work in the area of what the website calls knowledge translation?
It was really interesting and a new one on me. So you've mentioned that my background is in public relations, specifically media relations. And so the transferable skills I took from media relations was building basically a list of people that I can contact to see if they'd be interested in wanting to learn more about this and also in wanting to run the article that I wrote that was a condensed version of this very study you're mentioning. And so some of it was interesting in the sense that people, there's definitely silos among organizations. And some of the things I ran into was, we think this is a great paper, we think what you've written is wonderful and you're a good writer, but we can't run this because it doesn't fit with what our organization is doing. So a lot of it involved being persistent in terms of trying to get the word out. Knowledge translation itself is interesting, and I just want to use a quote from Martin Luther King Jr. to try and illustrate about what I think it means. And that is, he said at the end of his speech, we want to talk right down to earth to everybody here in language that everyone can easily understand. And so to me, knowledge translation is that very thing. Academics have created their own language, which I think is important. It helps them in terms of validating what they're doing and also in some ways trying to express stuff that maybe not everyone has come across yet. So it's creating language as well to describe things that aren't necessarily clear. But it's not necessarily understandable to everyone. And so for me, another challenge in terms of doing knowledge translation was a lot of the writing I'd done in media relations had involved using metaphor, analogy, and trying to get people interested in whatever it was I was promoting. And so the writing became more not so much that, but just being very, very clear and trying to communicate things easily. So that's some of the challenges I've run into with doing this. One really positive story I want to share that I just heard the other day at a conference was somebody came up to me and said, I've run into someone who's homeless. And they came across the article you wrote in a newsletter called The Wailer. And they found it really, really positive. Not only did it give them hope, but it gave them some practical ideas for what they might do to manage the bipolar disorder that they have. So that for me was just thrilling to hear that it had actually reached somebody. So that's the reward of knowledge translation for sure.
Now, Michael, thanks for taking the time to join us to tell us more about yourself and Crest BD. We really appreciated it.
No problem, Kevin.
Thanks, Michael. Michael Crane is a member of the Crest BD community-based research team, and you can find out more about Crest BD at www.crestbd.ca.
People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society's CHLY 101.7 FM, CHLY.ca, community radio from Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily of these organizations.